Thanks, John. So we're going to do something a little bit different today, and I just want to preface this by asking each of you to think of a father that you might be able to come alongside, a dad who could use a little bit of encouragement. And maybe somebody will come to mind as I talk, but at the end, John and I are going to tell you about an idea we have and see what you think. So, you know, John asked me to speak this morning. I said, didn't I just do that? And he said, well, it was a year ago. It was February of last year. And I think that's part of what I want to speak to this morning. It's, you know, time goes by quickly. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper into one of the blog posts we put up on BeTheDadMovement.com. And just, I'm going to make a couple points. First, childhood passes, fatherhood doesn't. You know, you'll always be dad. And the other is I wanted to dig in a little deeper to what we said in the blog post about living fully and faithfully as a father. So I was on vacation. We were in the hill country, I think. I was sitting in a rocking chair in front of a restaurant with my little daughter, Natalie, 2 years old, in my lap. And it was one of those moments, you know, where she was awake, but she was just relaxed and kind of had her head on my chest. And you dads can probably think of moments like you probably think of one with him. And some of you have those moments now, Sebastian and Matthew, where your little one is just content. No? You're always going. But we were sitting there, and this older man walked by, and he smiled, and he said, enjoy it. Next week, she'll be 18. And I winced a little bit, but she's 24 now, and I'm that older man. And you know what? A lot has changed, but that love that you have, that it never changes. I still feel the same way about her as I did in that rocking chair, you know, 22 years ago. And sometimes, I always try to encourage parents with toddlers, you know, in a church setting or wherever. If I have an opportunity, I always try to smile and encourage them and compliment their kids. You know, I really think back on that time with a lot of fondness. It was a great time in my life. And if they ask me for advice, I just say love them. The rest, you know, is incidental. Just love those kids. Enjoy them at that age because they're just such a gift. And if I were pressed further, I'd say, you know, hang on to them, but be prepared to let go. And by that, I mean, you know, you hang on to the love and the prayers, but the expectations that you have are not always going to align with their expectations. And you just kind of got to be prepared to let go of that. Hang on to them and just adjust your expectations, I guess, is a way to look at it. And one of the things that in the last few years I've really tried to do more of, and John and I have learned this, Jim as well, going to these schools to speak to students. We hold these What's Next roundtables with the college students. And one of the questions we ask them is, who first said, I believe in you? And it's interesting because there's a pretty good number of kids who haven't heard that. And this is a Christian at Christian colleges. And I can tell you that we tell them that, and it's very meaningful for them. And so I would just encourage you, when you have the opportunity, regardless of what the situation is, if you feel like your kids are off track, just keep reminding them of that you believe in them. Those are some really powerful words. But the hardest advice, and what I want to dig into a little bit this morning, is a little bit counterintuitive. I want to share a quote with you. The Swiss psychologist Carl Jung said, "Nothing has a stronger influence psychologically on their children than the unlived life of the parent. Nothing has a stronger influence psychologically on their children than the unlived life of the parent." And I think about the unlived faith. Our children are very intuitive from a very young age. They tune in, and they're around us constantly, and they sense it. When we're not happy, they're uneasy. And there's a common way that term is used to live for your children, and we associate it with kind of giving up everything else for them. And I think that's what Jung is addressing here. I think one of the things that our children intuit is how fully we live our lives. And for Christians, you know, life is faith. So what about the unlived faith? There's this term, a Latin phrase that our Catholic friends like to use when they talk about evangelizing. It's Duc in Altum, D-U-C-I-N-A-L-T-U-M. And it's drawn from that passage in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, where Jesus says, put out into the deep. And that's the place where they're on the boat, Jesus is preaching to the crowd, and then after he's done, he says, put out into the deep. And I really like that image. I know some of you, and I know that some of you here this morning are in the deep. I know some of your stories, and for the rest of you, I would imagine some of you are in the deep, or maybe some of you are considering the deep. And by the deep, I mean the unknown. To me, that's what faith is, stepping into the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. And faith says, we go anyway. We go not knowing. You know, we're going not knowing all of our lives. For me, the deep right now is that accepting early retirement from UPS after 32 years. And, you know, I have a couple of opportunities in front of me, but there's a lot that I don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. And I went away for a weekend to think about that decision and prayed about it and wrote about it. And I did it against the wishes. My wife preferred that I not do that. And I had peace about it, though. And I still do. I'm not comfortable, but I have peace. And I feel like I'm in the deep because I don't know how it's all going to play out. And, you know, welcome to the life of faith, right? And what that has to do with being a Christian father, I think, is everything. Because whether we like it or not, we're always showing our children how to live. They're watching. They're intuiting. They watch closely. And God hasn't called us to live a life in the shallows. He's calling us out to the deep. If you remember in the story, he calls out, he tells them to put out into the deep and drop the nets. And they end up, you know, Peter says, we've been at it all night. We haven't caught a thing. And he says, drop the nets. They drop the nets. They break the nets trying to pull all the fish in. And I don't know what God's up to a lot of the time. You know, I like to say that his will gets done despite my best efforts. But it's an adventure, the Christian life. We pray for things and we hope for things and we leave it up to him. I don't know about you, but some of my prayers are, God, I don't know how you're going to get me through this, but I sure wish you would. I have no idea how you're going to pull off this one. And I'll give you an example. I talked about Natalie and how we have to give up some of our expectations. And this is kind of personal, I trust you guys, but a couple years ago, she came out and told us that she was a lesbian. And I think I've mentioned this last year when I was here. And boy, I didn't see that coming. That was not what I had in mind. And I prayed. I got a little angry with God. You know, that's just wasn't supposed to be the plan. And I don't know what was going to happen. I just kept praying. And he can do it. I can't change hearts. He can. I can do the best I can to influence the path she's on. But I only have one vote. I'll try to influence her vote, but I only get one vote on that decision. This week, I haven't even told John or Jim. She's decided she's not that. She's dating a guy. I didn't see that coming either. It just reinforces to me, you just never know what God's up to. We tell the kids at the college, there's three things you don't know. What you're capable of, and what God's capable of, and what God's capable of doing with you. You truly don't know, but you can step out in faith. You can put out into the deep. And one of the things that's meant is to really try to engage with my kids. And it's so different now than when I was their age. My kids were right at, the youngest one had just become a teen when the iPhone came out. And I don't know, that was huge. I saw a graph the other day and it showed that in 2007, they were tracking kids who reached the same age as my kids. When the iPhone came out, you can watch it trend up on anxiety and depression among teens. It's so different for them than it was for me. And for a long time, I just said, it's still the same. It's not. I had to get past that. I had what I had to do was become curious about what it's like to be that age now and give up some of what I thought I knew about what it's like to be that age now. When you know, you're not curious. And I think that's part of our problem. I mean, there's a Christian line of thought that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I understand that, but there's a lot God didn't tell us about. He didn't give us instructions on every part of life. And I think we're called to be curious. We're called to engage with the world, certainly in the lives of our children. We're not supposed to pull back. And yes, we go forward with our eyes wide open, but I think we're supposed to engage with our children. There's a Jewish scholar, his name's Maurice Samuel, and he said the secret of the survival of the Jews is their curiosity. They had to figure out how things worked.
What was that name, Mark?
Maurice Samuel. And I think he's a secular Jewish historian. You know, we would say there's another reason for the survival of the Jews. But I would say, no matter what age you are as a father, how curious are you about your children's lives? And as they get older, you get impatient with them. And it's hard to be impatient and curious. One of the things that's really helped me in the past few years is to become more curious about my kids. Their music, you know, they listen to a different kind of music. But interesting, my kids like a lot of music from the 80s. And Natalie was to introduce me to this artist not long ago. He's suffered with mental illness and drugs, but he was a lot different than most. He kind of did these lo-fi recordings in his basement, and some of it was really good, and I was really interested. Some of those songs were just, you know, kind of haunting in a way. But I was, it was kind of haunting when I asked her, so what became of this Daniel Johnson guy? And she paused for a minute. She said, oh, he's just old now. And I looked him up, and he's my age. Life is short. Sooner or later, if it all goes well, we're going to all wind up just old, I guess. But I don't want that to happen too soon. And I think it's important to think of how we're going to be remembered by our children. You know the exercise at the funeral where, what will they say about you? But I want to know what they're going to, I think what I want them to say about me at my funeral is, look, he's moving. I mean, how can I live for him now? What are they saying about me now? I'm really curious about that. And I guess what I'm getting at is, it's not just how we live for them by what we give up for them. I think it's how we embrace life. They need to see that. They need to see our courage, our curiosity, our faith. When I was being coached for a speaking engagement, they kept telling me, you're telling me these things, you're explaining things, show me. Tell me a story. Give me some data. Show me, don't tell me. And I think our children, in a way, are saying that. I imagine them saying that to me. Show me how to do it. Don't just tell me. So I know, John, you were at that father's lunch last week. Tom Obenchain. And wow, what a dad. He was just, and the thing I really liked is, when the gentleman introduced him, he was talking about, he's a chef, he's a successful businessman, he's a triathlete. You know, he's grabbing on to life. He's not giving it up for his children. And I think there's plenty we do give up for our children, but that life, that Christian life of faith, the adventure, is something that we don't want to give up. And it was so great. He had his boys there. They're in their 20s. One of them got up and spoke, and I loved what he said. He was a football player. He said, a lot of the guys after the games were kind of afraid to go home because their dad was going to say, why'd you go left? You're supposed to go right. And, you know, and they were just like, oh, I don't want to go there. And he said, I always wanted to go home. I always wanted to hear what my dad thought. And I thought that's such a great model for a dad. And so I wanted to get at a different way of looking at living for your children this morning. And I want some of you that are my age and older, I don't need to impress upon you how quickly it goes by, but maybe younger guys, gosh, it's amazing. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to watch your children grow up. And the way the relationship changes, it's such a gift. So, you know, my prayer is that they remember the way we love them and we believe in them. And But I also wanted them to remember the way we lived our lives as men of faith, that we really put out into the deep and the unknown. Show them how to do that. So that's my encouragement this morning. And so John and I want to try something. We record these events every week. We put out blog posts on BeTheDadMovement.com. And that person I was asking you to think about, the website's called Be The Dad Movement. It's a movement. How do we move this message to other dads? And I think it just starts with just picking one. I hope you've thought of one, or you'll think of one soon, that you could forward a blog post from BeTheDadMovement.com, or you could forward a podcast and just come alongside. Maybe it's not to evangelize, but just to come alongside as a fellow dad and ask, how's it going? That's one thing most dads like to talk about, is how it's going with their kids. Everybody likes to talk about their kids. And I just encourage each of you, you know, to pick one person. We're going to send out a text on Friday, and I think we'll do that each time we put up a new post, and just ask you, hey, take a look, we put up a post, think of someone you could forward it to, or pick a podcast and forward it to someone. And who knows, maybe they'll be sitting here with us one morning, but that's our call to action this morning. Thank you.